And sometimes, you know, people miss it. They don't see it. You see somebody that's in trouble, they don't see the sunrise. They don't see the leaves change. They don't pay attention to the blessings of God. But I'm thankful for it tonight. I want to try to bring something to you that's on my heart that I've really had on my heart for a couple of weeks. I've been praying about trying to ask God what He'd have me to do with it. I want to read one verse out of Job chapter number 2 and verse number 8. I want to bring a thought to you about coming out of the ashes. And I want you to think about it as we think about Job. And we know what Job went through, and I'll try to walk through a little bit of that with you. But I want to read this verse, and this is where Job, you know, had really gotten down to the point that, you know, he had lost everything that he had. 7 sons and 3 daughters, all of his wealth, all the things that he had were gone. And there's the devil. He comes back before the Lord, and he says, the Lord says to Satan, he says, "Have you beheld my servant Job?" And he says, "Skin for skin, all that a man has will he give for his life." And that's in the 4th verse. And the Lord allows the devil to put his hands on him. And he allows him to touch him. And in the 5th verse, it's where Satan's speaking. He says, "But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Now, if you could imagine being in a position in your heart that you had lost everything that was precious to you. You see, the Scripture teaches us about Job, what kind of man he was. He was a man that eschewed evil. And he would go before the Lord regularly and pray, lest peradventure perhaps his children had sinned. And he would pray on their behalf, trying to walk godly before the Lord. You know, I would never want the Lord to call my name out to the devil. But that's exactly what the Lord did. He called Job's name out to the devil and said, "Look at that one. That's one of my special servants." Everything that happened in Job's life, it happened so that God could be exalted. And you say, "Oh, that's difficult." I remember one time I was sitting in church. I told you a little bit about when God saved me. But I remember one time sitting in church and a preacher preached. A preacher was my daddy. And he was preaching. And he said, "You know, you don't want to go through life thinking that just because you live for the Lord, everything's going to work out all the time." He said, "Because it's not." And he told the story of Job. Now, I was just a kid. I don't know how many times I'd heard it before, but you know how the Holy Spirit is. It had never stuck down inside of my heart. And I sat there and it got my attention. But sometimes in life we go through things. And here we see Job, and he takes and he scrapes himself and he sits down among the ashes. Now, I don't know if you begin to think about the pain that he was in. It said that he had boils, sore boils from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. Now, that's like blisters. I heard a story this past week where a sheriff's deputy, local, I think was in Douglas County, went into a building chasing someone, and he got into a yellow jacket's nest, tore that yellow jacket's nest up. And they said he was stung over 100 times. And they took him into the emergency room, and by the time they got him there, he was having trouble breathing. And I began to think about that and what kind of pain that man might have been in. Even those that were there to help him, the other sheriffs, they got stung, even getting bees off of him when they got him into the emergency room. Well, I don't know if that's what it was like for Job, but I believe he was in really, really bad shape. Now, if you've been walking with the Lord very long, you've had times where you've sat amongst the ashes, and that's what I want to talk about. But I want you to know that when you're sitting there, it's not God's will or God's intention for you to stay there forever. You know, we always go, we go through things in our life, and sometimes there are times of trial, sometimes times of difficulty, but it's a season and it's a time. If you go over to Ecclesiastes in chapter 3, I want to read just a little bit of scripture to you, and then we're going to come back to the book of Job. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and the time of peace. This is written by Solomon in Ecclesiastes. And I believe when you're sitting in the ashes, there are different times and seasons that you go through. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. And this is for anyone who's suffered. It's for anyone who has failed. It's for anyone who is going through pain or hurt or difficulty. I want you to know that even though there's a time of sitting in the ashes, God has a plan for you. And one thing that we find, and I began to study, and I saw this as I sat down to study this, and I looked up in the Bible the words, it came to pass. And I found that those words are in the Bible that I study 457 times. And here's something that I want you to understand when you're looking at these different times and seasons. It's whatever time that you're going through in your life right now, it will come to pass. You know, sometimes we're in a time of great rejoicing, and I praise the Lord for the good things that He's given us. But I know I've been walking with Him long enough that we don't know what tomorrow holds. And it's important for us to secure and get our roots down and our foundation established that we will be able to face what tomorrow holds, holding God's hand, knowing that He never turns loose of us. You know, the first thing I want you to see is we see Job sitting here amongst the ashes, is there is a time to mourn. You know, I have, and I don't know if you've ever been to them like this, but you go to a funeral, and somebody's lost the closest thing to them in life. And they're sitting there, and they're absolutely, and I don't understand this, because folks, there's a time to mourn. There's a time when it's okay to cry. There's a time when it's okay just to break loose and let it pour out. And I don't care, let the rivers of waters run down your eyes. You study through the book of Psalm and you see where David said, rivers of waters run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. Sometimes rivers of waters ought to run down because of a burden. Sometimes rivers of waters run down because of loss. I want you to know that I love the Lord and I trust the Lord and I walk with the Lord. But if I were to get a report that one of my little boys was gone, there'd be rivers of waters run down my eyes. My wife and I went through something a few years ago. Every one of our children were planned. I mean, people look at us sometimes and she's even had people ask her, you know, because I got one that's 23 and one that's 14 and one that's 9. They said, oops. I said, no. I said, I told my wife every time we were going to have a child, I said, this is going to be a girl. This is going to be a boy. But between Matthew and Jessica, we were wanting another child. And we planned for that child, and, you know, my wife was pregnant, and we went on, and everything was good, and everything was fine. But there come a day when she went to the doctor, she wasn't feeling right, and she got to the doctor, and the doctor told her, there's no heartbeat. Now that baby, we were already planning for it. Things were moving along. And I want you to know it was a time of mourning in our lives. I went with her and I held her hand as she was there in the doctor's office. And it was a time of mourning. But you know, it didn't continue and last forever. It was a time where she and I were sitting amongst the ashes. I can remember one time we hadn't been married very long. We got up on a Sunday morning. We were getting ready to come to church. And we got a phone call. And it was one of those kind of phone calls that you don't want. You know, we want to live that. I want to live this life to the fullest. I want to serve God with everything that's in me. And I'm ready to go to heaven, but I want to serve God here. I want to see my little grandboy grow up. I want to see my boys get married if it's God's will. But we don't know whether or not we're going to have that. We got a phone call. And my wife's dad, who was 42 years old, had passed away. And I had to take that call, and I had to take and turn around and explain to my wife what just happened. We got in a car and we went down the road, and I want you to know that it was a time of mourning. Well, what do you do in those times? I'll tell you exactly what you do. You mourn. Job went in and he scraped himself and he sat down among the ashes. The scripture says in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep." You know, sometimes the only thing you can do when you see somebody hurting, and I'm talking about really hurting, is sit down with them and hold their hand. You know, sometimes what happens that's wrong is somebody comes in and they want to tell you everything you're supposed to do, give you every answer. There are times in your life that it's only the grace of God that can help you. We had a lady, a friend of ours, that we used to go to church with, had a teenage daughter. It was like one that would be in the youth group here. And she got a call and her teenage daughter had been killed in a car accident. And it was a tragic thing. You know, it's like you tell your children, I want you to be home at a certain time. And if you've raised kids, you look at them and say, you know, you really don't need to be hanging around that. You ever had a guy come to pick up your daughter and you just didn't like him? Some of you got it coming. Some of you got it coming. Okay, I can remember telling my daughter, if I ever see a boy slap the back of his knee to get his billfold, you might as well get him out of the yard, because I'm going to get him out of the yard for you. Have you ever seen those times? This lady, a friend of ours, she got a call, and her daughter was off with a boy that she didn't want him to be with. And she was told that her daughter, just like that call that I got, a teenage, beautiful little girl had been killed in a car wreck. And this is what she said. Nobody could give her answers or words that would be enough. She stood up and she cried out to God. And she said, "Lord, just pour your grace on me right now." And when she was talking to us, this is what she was doing. She said, "Lord, just put your grace on me." You know, there are times in your life that the only thing that's going to help you is the grace of God. And if you call me, I'll come and I'll sit with you. And I've done that before, but the Lord is the only one that can help you. Well, here's Job, and he's sitting amongst the ashes. The scripture tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, that we should bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And sometimes all that is, it's like I heard someone that had lost a child, and the best friend got the call, and she said, "I got to the house and I went into where the mama was at, and she was laying in the bed. She said, I just went in there and crawled in the bed with her. And I wrapped my arms around her and I laid there with her, and we cried together just as long as she wanted to cry." Folks, God understands. And there is a time for mourning. And I don't care how big of a man you are, there's a time that you ought to cry. Now, there's a time for mourning. There is also a time to refrain from mourning. You know that God's grace is the only thing that can help us. People ask me sometimes, "Well, do you have a verse for this?" Well, yeah. "Well, what do you think about this?" And you tell them, yeah. But do you know it takes God? But when God comes on the scene and God's voice begins to speak to you, and God reaches out in His grace and His mercy, the Bible tells us not to frustrate the grace of God. And when God comes with His grace and His mercy and He wants to wrap it around you, it's not wrong to let God's grace comfort you. You know, sometimes people won't be comforted because they feel like they're doing something wrong if they let the grace of God comfort them. It's not wrong to let God's grace comfort you, because He's the only one who can. He said, "My peace give I unto you. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's why when people look at you and they say, "I don't understand how you're making it through that. I don't understand how you can withstand that." And here's what you say: "It's not my peace. It's His peace." Because there is a time to refrain from mourning, and you listen to God's voice and you follow God's direction, and you decide that I'm not going to stay in the ashes. You see, one thing that I've seen, and I was talking to a friend today, and there's a man I'm going to try to get him to come preach for us soon, just a powerful preacher. But you know, you can preach all your life. And he was married, I think, to his wife, they said, 66 years. And she said, you know, he never went anywhere to preach that she didn't go with him. You know, my wife reminds me, and I appreciate my wife being here tonight, the entire time that she and I have been married, there's only one time that she didn't hear me preach. And that's when Luke was born. Matthew, she's correcting me. Yes, dear. It's when Matthew was born. Because she couldn't go that Sunday morning. And you know, there are times that she might get called to go over here, or she gets called to go over there. She said, but I feel like I need to be with you. You know, when you've spent your life walking with somebody like that, it's God's grace is what helps you. Okay? But I want you to understand something about Job, and we're going to get to it in just a minute. He didn't lose those children. They just made it to heaven before he did. Okay, we'll get to that in just a minute. There's a time to refrain from weeping. It's the time, and I can't tell you when it is. It's not up to me to be God's police. It's not up to me to tell people how long they're supposed to mourn or what they're supposed to mourn. But when God's grace is being poured on you, open your heart and your arms and let him do it. Because he's the only one that can. In Psalms chapter 30 and verse 5, the latter part, the second half of the verse, and we'll read the rest of it in a minute, says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And joy is Jesus first, others second, and you last. Now there's a time to mourn, there's a time to refrain, and there's a time to rise up from the ashes. There's a time to stand up. You can sit there, and sometimes we do, and sometimes that's all we can do. And I've shared this with you, and my mother's here tonight, and I don't think she'd mind me saying this, but when I was 7 years old, I had a sister who was 3 years old who died with cancer. My dad was pastoring a church, and we lived next door to the church, and there was a time when my mom sat amongst the ashes. Because when I was in kindergarten, or I was going to Bolton Road Elementary School at the time, my mother would take me to school, and then she would go over to the cemetery, which was about 2 miles from the school, and she would sit there on that grave all day until she came back to get me. And you know, she told me that she sat there, and she sat there day after day after day. It's just like Job sitting amongst the ashes until God came. And it took that grace that God can give, that only God can give, to give her the strength to be able to stand up. But there was a time when she had to stand up. Now here today, blessed, God gave my mother 2 more children after. My sister's name was Wendy. After that, Wendy had passed. But folks, there is a time that God wants us to rise up from the ashes. And he wants us to move forward. I've seen people go through losses in their life, and it's like their life is over. If you're living and you've got breath in your lungs, your life is not over, and God has a purpose and a plan for your life. I believe that with all of my heart. Over in the book of Psalms, in the 30th chapter, I want to read a little more of that to you tonight. I love the book of Psalms. But you know, when is it time to rise up from the ashes? It's when God is walking by. When the Lord walks by and he speaks to us with his sweet spirit and his comfort and his love, he's saying it's time for you to get up. Because I've got something else for you to do. You know, there are times if I look back on my life, I remember certain things and I'm so blessed by them. But folks, we can't live there. We've got to realize where we're at today, and we've got to let God have everything that we've got. Because none of us know how much more we're going to have. You know, I'm going to be 49 my birthday. Some of y'all think, oh, he's a kid. He's just a baby. Let me tell you, I don't feel like no baby. I don't know how much more I'm going to have. How much more is God going to give me? It's important that I understand it and give it to him. It belongs to him. Our life belongs to him. And if you're here and God's come by and he spoke to you and says, rise up from those ashes, it's because he has something that he wants you to do. Psalms chapter 30 and verse 1. He says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought me up, my soul, from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. I sing unto thee, O Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You say, there's a time to rise up from the ashes. Then I want you to understand something. There's a time to receive God's blessing. You know, when I was there with my wife and I was trying to comfort her, we believe that we have a daughter in heaven. We do. I told her, I said, she's a little girl. I said, that's a little girl that we even had a name picked out for her. And I was there comforting my wife. We didn't know what God was going to do in our lives. We didn't know that it would be just a short time later that she would be expecting again and we would have a son that we named Matthew. And then later on in our lives, I mean, I thought I was getting old. She started talking about having another one. I said, I'm too old. And we kept talking about, I will tell you, it got to the point, I'm going to be honest with you, I felt like it was God's will that we have another child. And I went to her and I told her that. And then Luke came along, my mini-me. Do you know that when you look back, if Job had just sat there and he hadn't got up and he hadn't let God comfort him and he hadn't listened to the voice of God when God come by, this would have never happened in his life. Go back to the book of Job and let's go to chapter number 42. In Job chapter 42, we want to start reading in the 10th verse. You see, when God comes by, the first thing you have to do is submit. That's surrender. Do you know that he is God? Sometimes people live in bitterness. They blame God. They shake their fist at God. One thing I want you to understand, he's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. I can't explain it all. I don't know it all. One day we'll get to sit down at his feet and we'll talk to him. And when we're there with him, maybe we'll understand more. But until then, we just have to believe that he is God. We have to submit and we have to surrender. Then we have to honor him, glorify him, which means worship him. I heard a preacher preaching one time. He was talking about a lady in the church that was barren. She couldn't have children. He said that it got to the point they were praying and they had everybody in the church praying and nothing was happening. She was going to the doctor all the time. And he said finally they just got to the point she was depressed and she went from being depressed unto just breaking out. He said, we'd be in church and she'd go down to the altar and she'd just start praising the Lord and glorifying the name of the Lord in the altar. And she said, and I learned how to glorify the Lord in my barrenness. Oh, you need to be overcome with praise, understanding you serve a living God in your barrenness. He said, that lady would be in church and had sang one song. He said, it'd just break out. She'd just go to shouting and praising the Lord. He said, but it wasn't long. She went to the doctor and she was expecting. He said, you know, when that baby was born, she never shouted like she did when she was in her barrenness. Because if you don't learn how to praise the Lord in your barrenness, you'll never praise him in your fullness. And Job had to learn to trust God and get up out of the ashes to follow God before God could ever do what he wanted to do in Job's life. Then you receive. See, God has blessings for you. God has communion for you. God has fellowship for you. I want to get to the point in my life that I'm listening to the Spirit of God close enough that we just see what can God do. God can do great things. Job chapter 42 and verse 10 says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and his sisters, and they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Kerenhappuch. And in all the land there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them their inheritance among their brethren. And after this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. Now I want you to go back to this 13th verse. It says he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. You go right above that, said he said twice as much as he had before. Well, why didn't he have twice as many kids? I want you to understand something. He didn't lose them. They went to heaven. And those on earth were equal with those in heaven. We're going to be together. If we're saved by the grace of God, praise the Lord, we're going to have a reunion in heaven. Now, I wish I could tell you everything that I believe about heaven. Some of you say, I don't know about that. I want to tell you something. This is what I want you to understand. You will be satisfied. I believe that with all of my heart. When we get there, we're going to be satisfied. It's going to be so good. You know, when they showed these scenes a while ago of majesty, and I looked at all of God's creation and all that God's done, it just took him just a little while to create all of this. Now, he's been up there preparing something for us for a long period of time. Yeah, you ever thought about how good it's going to be? It's going to be fantastic. I'm going to see my little sister again. I'm going to see my dad. There are others that I'm looking forward to seeing. Now, Job was blessed. He mourned. And then he let God's grace be poured on him. Then he rose up and he followed God. What did he do? He prayed for those that come that had too much to say. And then he was able to receive God's blessing. And I want you to know that that's what God wants for you and for me. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. I want us to come and just sing one verse of song. I don't know, whatever, any song. In fact, if you want to play that majesty again, you can do that. And I just want to have people to have a time, if God spoke to you tonight and you want to pray, that you can pray. Here's what I want you to understand. God's grace may be trying to be poured out on somebody tonight. God might be trying to comfort somebody and give you help and the strength that you need so you can walk forward another mile. We're going to play this, if you can play it again. And if you feel like praying, this is your opportunity. If I can pray with you, and after this, if nobody moves, then we'll dismiss. Amen. Go ahead and play.
Sacrifice. Sing with me tonight, Majesty. Grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hand. Sing it, Majesty, Majesty, Majesty. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty, here I am. So that I can forget. Here I stand, knowing that I'm your desire, sanctified by glory and fire.
There's coming a day we're going to all bow on our knees.